Well, welcome for another interview of Canada Does Windows Azure. Today I have George here with me, and instead of me, as per the usual, doing the introductions, we're going to let you introduce yourself. So tell us who you are, what you do, and what you're here to talk about, really.
So my name is George Melas, and we're from Montreal, and we recently developed a cloud-based, a scalable cloud-based Windows monitoring solution called the Sentinel Agent.
Which, of course, when I went to your site earlier today and I'm looking at it and I'm like, I kind of feel a little FBI-ish, kind of, you know, Sentinel Agents, like, yeah. And then, of course, it's monitoring, but...
It's a monitoring capacity. It's an agent based,
right?
And it basically is the inevitable evolution of monitoring.
Nice.
This is how we've cornered it. This is how we explain it. The this agent is installed on Windows machines, and it reports everything into the cloud, the Microsoft Azure cloud.
Nice.
Our architecture is built around the Microsoft technologies, and earlier in the game, a decision was taken to adopt the Azure platform rather than some other offerings in the market.
Wow, so now that you're already going down that path, of course, the next logical question was, first of all, actually, before we go there, answer me this. Why the cloud to begin with?
We were looking for a scalable architecture and a scalable solution. We can talk about the whole technical thing, the three-tier, four-tier, five-tier argument, whatnot. What we really wanted was to scale each tier properly and accordingly.
Right.
This is where the cloud removed issues and limitations such as critical mass. It's really an architectural type game that we adopted. We love the storage capacity of Azure, where it just grows on demand, and we don't have to think about it. We love the load balancing aspect of Azure, and we actually use it at very many levels, at the service level, at the web level, at the worker role level as well.
Nice.
Right.
So, but ultimately, you guys are still a dev shop. So for you saying, hey, we don't want to worry about infrastructure, this is like being on cloud nine for you.
It's a pity when you're trying to develop a product and get a business working in its real form to be boggled down with hardware decisions, expensive decisions.
Right.
And that kind of impedes the idea or getting the project, giving the opportunity for the product or the solution that it really needs.
Now, did you guys look at it from a speed perspective? Did you look at it from a time to market perspective, or just simply because it made you, or in theory, it made you productive?
We've been developing for 12 years.
Okay.
And we've been around
Short
the block.
Time to market.
We have 12 years to leverage.
Right.
And we've been around the block a number of times, and we understood that adopting a cloud solution would have a learning curve. We've been on the Azure platform for, I think, 3 or 4 years ago in the beginning stages and the beta stages, and we followed through with the modifications and changes. And that was an interesting experience. And we...
Define interesting.
Interesting because the product was still in beta.
Right.
We know that we wanted to go with the Microsoft solution, but the product was still in beta. So we followed those changes back to back. And back in the day, there was a concept of... Azure Tables, for example, now that's within the Azure web capacity. We're using the storage of the Azure Tables component. We're not using SQL Server.
So you went like all out. Let's forget about the way we used to do things. The learning curve
was an interesting one, but that was the investment.
Nice.
So from a business point of view, you have to spend the money. But instead of spending it on hardware that gets dated in like a year or two,
if that,
and then you run out of storage or you run out of processing power,
right?
We took that investment decision and we put it in as part of the learning curve for the cloud solution.
Nice. So before we go into learning, you mentioned before you had looked into different types of clouds.
Yes.
So why Microsoft?
Why Microsoft?
Or in this case, why Azure, I guess.
Why Azure? It's we're firm believers that Microsoft has done the world a favor.
You heard him say it was not me.
Microsoft has bridged this dark, dark gap between IT and business in helping deliver technology, IT solutions to the business community, the enterprise, or the government. So this is what I firmly believe. And I also believe that Microsoft is continuing to do so through this cloud offering, which is the Azure.
So much so that you banked your entire business
on it. Well, we want to be on the side of winners. Oh. Right. I mean, that's the only way to do it. Right. I mean, that's... It was really a no-brainer for us. Being a Microsoft development house as well, a little biased, that's fine. You know, the decision was made a little bit easier. But the direction that Azure was taking was the one that we wanted to adopt for the scalable solution.
Makes sense. Yeah. So then what about Azure specifically attracted you? So you mentioned obviously the scale or whatever, but feature-wise, was there something that you, as you were looking at the other providers, you're like, no, we must go with this.
Storage.
Everybody says that. Why is that? Is storage such a big thing?
Storage is a humongous thing. And really, it's a question of storage and scalability. We wanted to split that up. The pipeline of features that Azure had in play would facilitate our development and our management of Sentinel Agent at the code level. Therefore, we wouldn't necessarily need a network admin team.
Nice.
So everything is really controlled at the coding level. And we've done the whole cycle, the automation, the build machine deploy, that whole nine yards. So everything gets spun up automatically.
Nice.
Right. Yeah, so that was
full out integration.
Full integration.
Development, DevOps. Everything.
Full SDLC automated. That was very important for us because there's a lot of wasted time in deploying certain applications at times. Right.
Of course. So going back to that learning discussion.
Yes.
What was that learning curve like? Especially being a Microsoft shop, was it huge learning curve? Were there pitfalls? How did you go about getting up to speed on the platform?
We'll discuss one topic on that. The Azure Tables was a relatively new approach for us, and we had to figure out the methodology to use at the coding level to control our data.
Right. So SQL versus NoSQL.
SQL versus NoSQL. We stepped into the Azure Table scenario. We had to split up the containers, organize our data properly, and that really forced us to roll up our sleeves and make the damn thing efficient.
Nice.
I said the bad word. That's okay.
It wasn't bad for me. Was that bad for you guys?
It wasn't bad for anybody.
So getting your mind around it. But then that wasn't necessarily a development issue. That's more of a standard as you would with any kind of architecture, getting your mind around
it. It was a bit more than that. I mean, Azure, in terms of storage, still presents a number of limitations, such as full text indexing and whatnot within the fields, which is something that we've addressed in different capacities. We have to structure our data so that the read-write capacity or the update is really efficient. Okay.
Now, were you guys okay with changing? Because effectively what you're saying is you changed the way that you were doing things to match what the platform technically was lacking. So were there enough advantages to go down that route that you basically said, okay, we're good with working around that?
Absolutely. I mean, 12 years of the making, SQL Server, excellent product. A couple too many... It's very easy to fail in architecture because developers sometimes depend on SQL to handle everything. For example,
too much guys, right?
Throwing in business logic and
that would never happen.
Well, that would never happen on the Azure. And from a business point of view, from a business decision point of view, it was important to set those limitations for the dev team. That way, none of that would ever happen.
Nice.
Yeah.
So technically making their lives easier.
I am doing them a favor, is what I like to think, yes.
One of these days we'll do an interview with George's dev team and we'll see. But
well, yeah.
For sure. Now.
Well, that would be a completely different tone. Right, but the dev team, it was a learning curve in the beginning.
Right.
I think that the dev team now appreciates the fact that they're getting their hands in dirty with the Microsoft Azure, so much so that I even think that they're bragging with their other friends that,
there we go.
Oh, really, you're working on Azure? Yeah, so
that's the way to do it.
The client base, I mean, we have a client base, and the desirable direction that everybody wants to take is Azure, but people are still afraid of it. I don't understand why. But they're afraid to take that plunge and to migrate into there. The tools and the infrastructure that Azure has to offer is extremely simple. You know, so there's not much to think about. It's just taking that that decision.
And now, do you think for you and even for the team, is it one of those approaches that it's going to basically, hey, go on MSDN, read all these articles, or are you like a full out, get in there, try it, because you'll only get it when you try it?
They have to take that leap forward. Whoever wants to head in that direction would definitely have to. I strongly recommend it, because this is the, again, the inevitable evolution of technology, and we've adopted that evolution for our product of the Sentinel Agent. We think that's very important. All solutions should migrate to the cloud, or for the most part, or a hybrid type solution.
There we go, people. Fact, all solutions, George says, all solutions must go to the cloud.
All solutions will eventually evolve into the cloud, absolutely.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. You say this, and it sounds like a, you know, this is a must. This is simple to do. Any kind of gotchas that you encountered along the way, or things that weren't necessarily as obvious that you learned the hard way and can impart knowledge on everybody that's watching this interview to avoid?
Nothing per se comes to mind.
It's just that.
Nothing per se comes to mind. It is that easy. I mean, developers are subject to you know, accommodating business needs on a daily basis. This is just an accommodation. That's all it is. It's an integration. Think of it as a fancy integration where you have to handle the infrastructure layer, let's say, or the physical layer as well. So you remove that physical aspect and then you plug that in.
And I have to say that in all of the interviews that we've done with all the various different developers, yes, I think that is the first time that it's been put that way.
Well, that's what it boils down to. We have the spin-ups, the VMs and the initializations directly within the code. Okay, so that's automatically deployed, and we don't have to ever worry about that. So it's the same environment every single time.
So now we're going to take a little deep dive here, because me being the developer geek that I am. So we're going to go down that level, and we're going to say, okay, so you're saying this is fully automated,
fully,
like full out using APIs to just manage the entire environment.
Fully, fully.
Was that something that was on the Azure platform that you did not see in other platforms?
I wouldn't be able to answer that now. We're getting into specifics. I wouldn't be able to answer that.
Fair enough.
I would assume that it would be possible, but the research that we had done on the Azure side and whatever was in the pipeline, this indeed was possible.
Yep.
So if, for example, we reach a critical mass and we need to spin up 10 more VMs at the service level, redeploy, -5 to -10, off it goes. It's just that easy.
Which of course goes back to why you were saying every solution must be on the cloud, so you can do things like that instead.
You need to have a flexibility. I mean, we all have a choice. For Sentinel Agent, we want to build this easy to use, simple product, this monitoring in the cloud. But the simplicity of it, you need to, so in my opinion,
right,
IT solutions require a friction-free approach.
Ah, yes, beautiful.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And things have to be as simple as possible. Now, this is to satisfy a business need or the client. But when it's friction-free on one side, that means that there's a lot of work that's transpired in the background. So prepare that infrastructure once, get familiar with the Azure environments once, and that's it. There's the mystery. You know, there is the mystery.
Mystery solved, people. We can finish off the interview right now.
Wow.
We're done. No, I'm kidding. I have more questions.
Okay.
I have more questions, just because you're looking at it from a very interesting perspective, both in terms of the development, but also then what happens afterwards, which I think most people don't necessarily do, because they think about, okay, well, the technology decisions that I'm going to make based on how I need to develop the product, not what happens afterwards, and I'll figure out what happens afterwards.
That is a very, very common mistake. To build a product is challenging enough. To market it is challenging enough. And once your product, the service, gets off the ground, it would be a great deal of pity if it reaches critical mass really, really fast.
Right.
Right. And so the traditional routes don't necessarily help in that capacity. It is, I think that the decision in adopting a friction-free approach in a simple approach, and this cloud, Microsoft Azure cloud approach, I think is a winning combination.
So now, especially coming at it from, you're a technical guy, you happen to also be a business guy.
I've bridged over the dark side, if I may, a number of years ago.
Fair enough.
Right.
In this case, it actually works to my advantage. So okay. Let me ask you this. Cloud adoption, or Azure adoption in this case, is it a business decision or a technical decision?
I think it's both.
I think you were going to say that, which is why I didn't give you the option.
I think that it's both. It's both a technical and a business decision. They both have to work together,
right,
in order for it to succeed.
Fine. Outsmarted. Done. All right. And now, in terms of, so again, we're going to go back the developer route.
Yes.
We're going to go back the learning curve route. Any suggestions or any advice that you might have for either developers themselves or development managers or decision makers, whoever are looking at platform decisions? Any advice that you have from a technical perspective that you can share that will basically make the process that much simpler to decide, at least?
You need to lay out your business requirements and what is it that you're looking to achieve. And whatever those might be, Microsoft Azure can definitely satisfy them.
100%.
Absolutely.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. I love the faith in the platform. It's actually refreshing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. That's definitely, at least has to be your 80% base of your solution. Definitely.
Okay. And then on the business side?
On the business side, it's always good to know where your costs are going and if you're able to accommodate growth. And also, you know, maybe you need to reduce your affairs. So it's always great to know that you have that flexibility. Azure offers that through the pay-per-use capacities and various subscription models.
Yep.
That,
now actually pay-per-minute, which is awesome.
The pay-per-minute is phenomenal. You know, we need to test something or load balance something. You know, spin up those 20 VMs for 2 hours. Thank you very much. You know, and that's the end of it.
So that would be what, a whole of 40 cents later.
40 cents later.
U.S.
True environment, true the whole nine yards. We stage everything in code. We
right.
deploy the environment, and off it goes. We run our tasks. We close it up, and that's it.
That's it.
It's leasing. It's like leasing infrastructure.
Now, when you say that, did you have some sort of consideration, or did it play some sort of consideration that Microsoft is behind this? Like, did that bring ease to you, or it didn't factor at all?
Microsoft is a very successful company.
I'm kind of employed here. But.
Hold on. Oh, it's a very successful company at delivering good, valuable solutions
there
to business.
Go.
So
Fair.
They understand where this game is headed. And they take initiative in developing these solutions, the cloud, the Azure, for example. And I also want to believe that Microsoft is always cautious in terms of rolling out their technologies where the market's analyzed and see what else is out there and whatnot. So, definitely, yes, you know.
Okay. Now, of course, the natural extension to that, and that always comes up whenever I bring up the question, cloud, and then you say Microsoft, and then next natural discussion is, okay, well, any concerns about privacy and security and so on and so forth? I mean, you guys are storing a lot of information in the cloud.
We're storing a lot of information. Security is always an issue within the cloud. I think that I personally believe that security is a question of perception, and it's very often subject to context. What do you mean by security? A physical type security? A storage type security? What type of security? I think that the analysis that we're doing, Sentinel Agent is collecting event logs, performance metrics, inventory on the hardware and software side, and we are storing this into the cloud.
Right.
Okay. The sensitivity of the data, for example, that we're collecting matches the security of the compliance market. So this is what our research has done. We're obviously after the Windows workstations, desktops, servers markets, and the compliance aspect seems to be satisfied. So security is depending on the interpretation.
I love that. Security is in the eye of the beholder.
It's in the eye of the beholder.
It's actually one of the reasons why I always say, you know, and anyone who has been to any one of my sessions will always hear me say, listen, there's a whole bunch of legalese involved, and we are developers. We are not legal people. And so, therefore, when you go on the Azure site, you go to the Trust Center, read to your heart's content, but let's be honest, let's give it to your legal people to read, because there's a whole bunch of words that none of us understand, but lawyers would.
Right.
So I'm assuming, and it sounds like you've done all of that, and your answer is still yes, no concerns, no issues.
There is no concerns, there's no issues.
As far as you're concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, the Sentinel agent can be adopted by anybody. And in our case, if somebody has security concerns, they should do their homework and figure out what that actually means. Can they put their information in the cloud or not?
Right.
They should check with their authorities. Hopefully there's a compliance behind it. Most compliances are stringent on security, but really in the way that the documents are managed per se and where they're stored. So that's up to them to do the research and for them to make the decision. We're not going to fight that game.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And then in one word paraphrase, or two words, I guess, do your homework. It'd be three words, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Do your homework and you're good.
Right.
And it's true, because a lot of times that comes up and there's this blanket fear, if you will, or like you said, perception.
Yes.
Once you dig into it, it's not as bad.
It's one of those terms like IT. That's a very black and dark cloud that nobody really understands.
Cloud, too.
Yeah.
Right, everything is a cloud.
And even the word cloud, it means a lot of things to a lot of people. Another aspect that we wanted for Sentinel Agent was that we wanted a true cloud solution. True cloud.
Okay.
We're not talking about building something, you know, on-site and then throwing a couple of VMs up in the cloud. We're talking about true cloud solution.
For true scalability.
True scalability.
Which makes sense why you then went with storage versus
Absolutely.
SQL Server. Not to say that SQL Server is not scalable.
SQL Server is definitely scalable, and we would have to run that exercise at the SQL Server level.
Right.
We didn't want to do that because our architecture, just briefly, is a lot of little pieces of information, aggregated data, and then, you know, we just collect a lot of it so that we can trend on it.
Right.
Okay, so the SQL capacity can fill up fairly quickly, and that would mean spinning up more and more SQL instances and then load balancing those. And
you still have to think about hard drives.
Let's adopt an evolutionary method. Let's step into a true cloud scenario. This is a major differentiator that we have. Our competition claims cloud, but it's in the older fashion. We believe to be the only true cloud application solution out there.
Nice. Of course, Azure enables that, which is always great.
Azure enables that when utilized accordingly, absolutely.
Now, you don't have to answer this one, but do you think you could have done true cloud and not Azure?
So I'm not going to answer this one.
I had to.
I think that the possibilities were there.
Right.
However, I also think that Microsoft was an obvious choice for us. We've been developing using Microsoft products and within the solutions for the past 12 years. And another one that's kind of leaning over, you know, the decision is that our Sentinel agent is geared for Windows machines only.
I was going to say, but I didn't want to go in there. Like, to me, that's logical.
Windows machines only.
Yeah.
And our goal was really to bridge that gap and to make things simple, to bring in the information, the critical information. I mean, it's 2013.
Sure is.
It's okay if we receive a notification that our hard disk is failing or dying.
Right.
That information resides well within the event logs, the system event logs of every Windows machine. It's okay if somebody gets a notification, say, you know what, save your data before that thing dies.
Right.
So those are one of the pains that geared us towards building the Sentinel agent, and we wanted to build it in a scalable capacity, right, to share that.
Cool. Any last words for folks that are watching the interview, basically, again, going back to making the decision simpler, or anything that you can offer advice in terms of migrating mentality or architectures over?
Developers, I firmly believe that the MSDM subscription base is a competent base, and developers should definitely entertain and engage in cloud-based technologies. And definitely look at the Azure capacities because all their needs nowadays, the product is very mature, all the needs can be satisfied. So definitely a direction to take for developers.
That, and there's a whole bunch of Azure stuff included with MSDN, which always kind of makes it nice.
It's great. It's great that MSDN offers a lot of offerings and packages. I'm not from the, but just recently, I think there was an announcement for cost savings, was it?
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago, or?
Yep.
Okay, so that's fantastic. That's a great initiative.
There you go.
There are a number of other subscriptions that allow developers to, you know, to sandbox their affairs for free and whatnot. I'm sure that.
And all of that is, it really comes down to and geared to exactly what you said. Don't read about it. Don't play around with it. Go in, try to build something, especially with the MSDN stuff. It's not going to cost you a thing, or if you don't have MSDN, then there's 90-day trial anyway.
Right, right.
Just give it a try.
You build something, you focus on your architecture, you make sure that it's entirely scalable, you definitely look at the Microsoft Azure, and you think big.
Ooh, I like that.
Well, that's the opportunity that Microsoft and Azure is giving the Sentinel agent.
There you go. Compete like the Fortune 500. Absolutely. And not be Fortune 500.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for all the knowledge and imparting advice on us. And the nice part is it was business, technical, anything and everything.
Right, right.
I loved it.
Right.
What would you call it? The dark side, right?
The dark side. We bridged over the dark side, maybe.
So I guess us developers would be the light side?
Well, you know, the dark side. The dark side specifically is that of, you know, the business, the marketing, the sales.
Fair enough.
Right? And that's always
Fair
important.
Enough. Well, it was great nonetheless. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan.